The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Tahanit, Daf Dalid. Today's Daf is being studied the Idun Shmat Mordechai Ben Hanna. Ruach Hashem Tenihenu Began Eden. Amen. Today's Daf is being studied the Refuah Shelema Avraham Ben Elena. Enna Refanalo, Enna Refanalo, Enna Refanalo. But the nefesh of the group for talking about the Mavi Kenyan and Soma Omar, amen. His daf is being studied for Ashedema Elau Chaim Ben Shafia Sophia Ena Refanalo Betokshar Choleamo Israel, amen. His daf is being studied the Lunishmat Abraham Ben Esther Ruach Hashem Tenihenu Began Eden, amen. We begin today's daf on Gimel Amud Bet, and we are on the bottom two lines. Ve Amar Rabbah, Rabbah said, Talga de Ture. Snow is beneficial to the mountains. Mitya mitra razia leilane. Soft rain, razia actually is the strong rain that comes down with force, is good leilane, is good for the trees. Mitra niha leperi. Light rain is good for the fruits. As she says specifically, for the tevuah, for the wheat. Urpila. When it comes to Urpila, that's the type of rain that she says, Geshamim Dakim, maybe like a misty rain, light, very light rain, thin rain. Afilu lefarzida detute kala mehan yale. It's beneficial even for the parsida, for the seeds detute kala, that are under the dirt. That she says, "Afilu lefarzida detute kala hagarin shetahat gusha shel karka." The seed that's underneath the ground, the mist or the little rain is able to cause it to sprout. Mehanya Rashi, shematchil lebatzbetz v'la'alot miyad. It begins to sprout and rise up. So Gemara says on the second line, "May urpila." What kind of name is that for the rain? Urpila. What does it stand for? Uru pili. So that she explains, Urupili, Shesotem Sidke Ha'ares. Literally, it seals the Sidakin, the cracks in the ground. Can it air that when the seed is put in the ground, like a little crack over there? So when it rises, so the crack now becomes sealed. Because now the sprouting fills up the crack in the ground. So Urupili, the sealing of the cracks. Or the Shna Harina, Shemegadelet u'mesamachat ha'gar'anim ha'omdim b'sedeh karka. Uru means the one that rises, like it awakens. Uru pile. It awakens the seeds that are in the pile, in the cracks of the ground. And that's why they call that rain Uru Urpila. Uru pile, the one that awakens the seeds that are placed in the crevices of the ground. That's the way the Tosafot on the top learns. Also, look at the top Tosafot, Urpila, Ainu Geshem Dak. Afilu farzida detute kala. Can farzida is the seed? Detute is under kala, the dirt. Mehanya. Pirush parzida zugarain shum mitachat ha'even. That's the seeds, let's say, under the rock. Hainu kemo hita shum mitachat ha'karka. Like a piece of, like a kernel of wheat that's in the ground. So this thing we put, let's say, under the crevices of the rocks, let's say. So let's say sometimes you have the seed that's like not in the ground technically even. Sometimes you have just a growth of a rock or something like that. My urpila, tosfot urpili, pirush me'oreran u'matzmihan. It awakens them, it causes them to grow. Pile pirush otara omdim besit ke'ares. Those that are in the crevices of the earth. Ve'amar Rabbah, Rabbah says, Hay tzurba merabbanan. Tzurba merabbanan is another way of saying a young, sharp scholar. Young tamid hacham. Dame le parzida de tute kala. He's similar to a seed that is in the crevices of the earth. The kevan de navat navat. Once already he starts to sprout, he sprouts. Which means so to a tamir hakam. Once his name gets out, then already he starts to become great and popular and high and elevated. Which means a simple explanation could be that Borei Olam, in his inimitable way, is able to publicize the great Talmidei Chachamim. Even though they're young scholars and they're not looking for kavod and they're sitting and just learning all the time, but Borei Olam manages to get them recognized, and once they get recognized, they start to grow and grow and grow. They start to sprout. If you see a young scholar, that is on fire, meaning he has a certain zealousness or anger, give him the benefit of the doubt. It's the Torah that gives this, that gives him this fiery nature, because he studies Torah, so he takes all the Torah principles more serious than the next guy. So when he sees somebody making a sin, he has less tolerance than the next guy, because he's learning Torah, and the Torah also, by the way, is called fire. So therefore, the fire of the Torah kindles in him a inner fire, and therefore, if you see him, you know, with less tolerance or gets a little more angry, give him the benefit of the doubt. Say, nah, it's not he's a bad person, because he's learning a lot of Torah, so the Torah causes him to be a little more fiery. Right? The Pasuk says that God's word is like fire. Says, any scholar that's not tough, like barzel, like iron, eno tamir hakam. It's not a tamir hakam. Which means over here we can understand kasheka barzel, which means sometimes the hakam has to make a stand, and he cannot waver, and he cannot buckle. So if any tamir hakam that's not tough like iron, you can't bend it. It's not flexible. I mean, certain things in halakha, tamir hakam has to be kasheka barzel. He can't let everybody come and change his mind, and you know he has different. He compromises or dilutes the Torah. Any tamid hakam that's a kashik barzel, eno tamid hakam. Shnei emar vechapati sheposes sala, which means he has to be like a hammer, like an iron hammer that is able to break through the rocks. Amale Rabbi Abba Rav Asher atun mehata metitula. You learned it from that pasuk that tamid hakam has to be like iron. Anan mehaka metinana. We learned it from a different place. Dichtiv eres asher abaneha barzel. It says there's a land, it's the land of Israel, that its rocks are solid like iron. Atikre abaneha. Don't read the pasuk abaneha, its rocks. Ela boneha. Boneha literally is its builders. And who are the builders of the world? The Talmidei Chachamim. Eres asher boneha barzel. That the scholars, like we say, atikre banaich, ela bonaich. So the builders of the world, the Talmidei Chachamim, they are like barzel. So they have that that iron attitude. Amar Abina, but still, afilu hache mivayle leinish lemelaf nafshe benichuta. But even so, a person should train himself to act in a soft, in a moderate way, benichuta. He shouldn't. He must control the tamid hakam. Must control that anger that he has inside and that fire. That enthusiasm, he has to temper it, and he has to deal b'nihuta in a soft way. Shnei emar v'aser ka'as medibecha. The pasuk says we have an obligation to remove anger from our hearts. Gemara continues. Amar of Shmuel ben Nachmani, Amar of Yonatan, Shilosha she'alu shelo kehogen. There were three people in history that asked God for something, but their asking was improper. The way they asked was improper. To two of them, God answered them properly. But to one of them, God answered them improperly. Now we're going to see the three cases. Ve'eluhin. Eliezer ibn Avraham, Ve'shaul ben Kish, Ve'yiftach ha-Gil'adi. The Gemara will explain each case at a time. Eliezer ibn Avraham, Dichtiv. When he was going to find a wife for Yitzhak Abinu, it says when he went, he prayed to God. What did he say? V'ayah na'ara asher omar eleha, hatina kadech. Says the girl that's going to come to me and say, hatina kadech, right? Give me your pitcher, and I'll fill it up for you, and gam l'gmalecha, and I'll give you camels as well. That's the girl. So that was the siman. Now he left himself vulnerable, Eliezer, by asking for this, because the Gemara says, Yaakov afidu higeret afidu someh. Let's say now God's going to send her a lame person or a blind person. Now he's stuck. He said, that's the one. So now he left himself vulnerable. She should have been a little more clear. She has to be healthy and so on and so forth. Now, he'll ask me a question. What do you mean? He'll see it. He'll see if the lady is higeret. He's not going to give her the gifts. So he'll know it. The blind will see it. So that she has, says, we're talking about where she's able to cover up her impairment. Which means, so therefore you can't tell. She's standing by the well. You don't know if she's higeret. Now she's going to give her the rings. She's going to give her all the gifts. Mm-hmm. You're the one for your tzak. All of a sudden, she's going to be now blind. Now what? Now you're stuck. Now you got a baal mum, baal apmu for your tzak. So therefore, then you have to say that it's not going to be noticeable to the eyes. And he's going to get misled. But therefore, he left himself vulnerable. Ashivo kehogin. The Borei Olam, even though his way he asked for it was not proper, God answered him properly. How do we know? V'nizdamna lo rivka. After all, he ended up getting rivka. Shaul ben Kish. What was the story with Shaul ben Kish? Dichtiv. והיה איש אשר יקנו, יעשרנו המלך, עושר גדול, ואת ביתו ייתן לו. שאול המלך said regarding Goliath, whoever kills Goliath, the king will give him great riches, and will give him his daughter to marry. Now again, he left himself vulnerable. Why? יאכול אפילו עבד, אפילו ממזר. Let's say it's עבד כנעני. Right now it's פסול. Or ממזר. That is pasul. Now you're stuck. I have to give your daughter to these bad lineage people. So Tanat Gemara says Heshivok Yehogin. God answered him properly. And who did he end up getting? It is David. No, David. David HaMelech Alav Hashalom. Yiftach HaGiladi. He was one of the shofetim, one of the judges in Klai Yisrael. Tichtiv. Ve'aya yotze asher yitze medalte beti. Was after he made a vow that if he wins one of the wars, that the first thing that comes out of his house, he's going to give it, consecrate it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yachol afilu davar tameh. I mean, he left himself vulnerable. Let's say a pig walks out of his house, or another type of animal. Now she says, Kenev or Hazir. Now what? He's going to bring this to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? He should have been specific. Yeshivo shelo kehogin. In this case, God answered him improperly as well. Nizdamna lo bito. Who came out of his house? His own daughter. Which means, now it's machloka, what he had to do. Some say he actually sacrificed his daughter, according to his vow that he made. And some say that he just let her stay on the roof over there until she starved to death. I mean, and that was his consecration to God. Now, what he should have done was, he should have made Hatanai Nedarim. He should have went to the Tamid Hakam at the time. The Gemara says that Pinehas was the scholar at the time. He could have went there and made Hatanai Nedarim. The problem was, he held, I'm the Shofet. He knows I have an issue. He should come to me. Pinehas said, what do you mean? I'm the rabbi over here. He should come to me. So everybody stood on their principle. And as a result of it, this tragedy happened. And the Va'inu de Kamalu Navi Yisrael. And this is what the Navi tells Yisrael. At Tzuri in Gilad, was there no balm in Gilad, meaning balm, a cure? Im Rofe in Sham? Was there not a doctor there? What did you people do? How did you let this happen? Was there no doctor? Meaning, wasn't Pinehas around? You could have went and you could have absolved yourself. So you see, God was angry, obviously, at the situation because He said, "What do you mean? How come you didn't relieve yourself from this vow?" Look at the Tosafot, bottom Tosafot for a second. V'ainu de kamalu navid Yisrael atzurim begilad im rofe en sham kelomar latid nidro liyftach v'ha hava Pinehas. Pinehas was around. V'amaylo alach yiftach etzlo latid nidro ela mitok gasut ruho. He had a certain arrogance. Amar lo elech etzlo shani shofet v'nagid. I'm the king. He maybe yelled, if you want to justify him a little, halachically I'm not allowed to go. Melech shemahal al kevodo, en kevodo mahul. I have a din of a melech. Therefore I cannot lower the kingship to go to this. Ela yavoro etzli upinehas amar litigabai da'ana navi. He said, what do you mean? You're a shofet, you're not a melech. Melech, the shofet doesn't have a deen of en kivodo mahul. Adrabah, a navi is higher than the shofet. Therefore, I cannot be mohel. You have to come to me. Ve'al yedeh, ve'al yedite petura. Shaiti, let's get this right, it was moreh, umatir neder, upoter ota. Right, I could have given him a way out of the neder. When you go to the doctor, who do you go to? The doctor comes to you, or you go to the doctor? He needs me, let him come to me. Ulbesof, God ultimately punished both of them. Yiftach ne'enash chenaflu evarav kodem mita, his bones literally fell off his body before he died. Kedichtiv vayikaber ba'are Gilad. He was buried in the cities of Gilad. His bones had to be the bones fell off, literally, meaning like they were scattered and they were buried in many places. That he lost Ruach HaKodesh. Back to the Gemara. Asher lo seviti velo dibarti velo alta al libi. The Gemara is giving a derasha on a pasuk in Yirmiyah. Literally, pasuk means I did not command it. Asher lo seviti velo dibarti. I never said it. Velo alta al libi. It never entered or never rose on my heart. What was God talking about in this pasuk? Asher lo seviti ze beno shel mesha melech Moab. This is referring to Mesha, the king of Moab. Shnei Emar, v'yikach beno b'chorat shirim lok tachtav, v'ya'alehu ola. Means Mesha wanted to appease God. So he brought a human sacrifice. He said, didn't Yitzhak Avinu go as a korban? So I also want to appease God. So he brought his son up to a human sacrifice to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To that, God says, you have to know, this was not sanctioned. Hashelot Siviti. Don't think that that is a new practice, that you're going to start bringing your children as korbanot. So the prophet says, Hashelot Siviti, this was unsanctioned. Ve'lo dibarti, ze yiftach. This lo dibarti is referring to yiftach. I never told yiftach to bring his daughter as a korban. This was again, never discussed. Ve'lo alta alibi, it never entered my heart, ze yitzhak ben Avraham. Which means God said, I never had intentions even from the beginning. When I told Abraham Abinu, all I told him is, V'ha'alehu le'ona. I told him, put him on the Mizbeah. I didn't mean to sacrifice him. So it's not like God changed his mind. No, I'm trying to be. It never entered my mind that Yitzhak was going to be a human sacrifice. Comes the Elawat, he only did it to test him. Because the Satan challenged Abraham, or challenged God and said, he's not so good. And God said, even if I would tell him to sacrifice his son, he would listen to me. So therefore it was as a ketrug of the Satan, so God tested Abraham. But it was not because of he really wanted Yitzhak to be sacrificed. Amar Rav Berachia. Rav Berachia says, even B'nai Israel ask God for something in a not proper way, that Kadosh Baruch Hu Shiva Ki Hogin. But God answered Klal Israel properly. We want to know and run after Kadosh Baruch Hu Kashahar Nachon Motzao. We want it to be clear to us, like the Shachar, like the morning sun. Ve'yavo kegeshem lanu. And we want God to come to us like rain. So the Gemara says, "Amar laKadosh Baruch Hu b'ti, at shoedet davar shepachamim mitpakesh, pachamim enu mitpakesh." You ask me to come to you like rain. Rain sometimes you ask for, sometimes you don't ask for. Sometimes it's a rainy season, sometimes there's no rainy season. What, you want me sporadically? Aval ani yeh lecha davar mitpakesh le'olam. I'm gonna be to you like something that's constantly asked for. The point is, something that never ends. Shnei emar yeh katali Israel. God, I'm gonna be to the Jewish people like dew. Just like we learned yesterday's daf, the dew never stops. God said, you want me the relationship to be with that Geshem? Geshem is on and off. I want to be like dew, which means that comes every day, which is a closeness. The old Sha'ala Shiloh Kehogan. Another case where Klal Yisrael asked improperly. I'm not afanav. The Bono Shel Olam. Simeni kachotam alibecha. We're asking to be close to God. Place me like a chotam, like a seal on your heart. Kachotam al zeru'echa. Like a seal on your arm. Kiviyachol, they're saying a mashal. Gemara says, "Amar laKadosh Baruch Hu b'ti, at shoedet davar shepa'amim nireh, pa'amim enu nireh." Sometimes a person's arm is revealed, right, when he takes off his shirt, but when he puts on his shirt, it's covered again. So therefore you're asking for something that is sometimes covered, and sometimes concealed, which means sometimes I'm going to see you, sometimes I'm not going to see you. You should ask to be put in a place where I can constantly see you. So where's that? אבל אני אעשה לך דבר שנאה לעולם, שנאמר, הן על כפיים חכותיך. I'm going to put your seal on the palm. A person's palm is always revealed. So therefore, I'll put you in a place where you can always see it. Now she gives another interpretation. כפיים is another way of saying שמיים. She says, I'm going to put your image on the כיסא הכבוד. On the שמיים, הן על כפיים חכותיך. I can see you at all times. So that's the Gemara. Let's do a couple of these Tosfotim over here. Let's start with the שלושה שאלו שלו כהוגן. אליעזר, שאול ויפתח. ואם תאמר, Amai lo hashiv Kaleb ben Yefuneh. We have others. We have a story of Kaleb ben Yefuneh. What was that case? Shamar asher yakeit Kiryat Sefer, the one that's going to conquer the city of Kiryat Sefer, velakeda, venatati lo et aksa biti leisha. I'm going to give aksa, my daughter, to that person as a wife. Amai lo pariki muhaka. Yachol mamzeru eved. Same thing, left himself vulnerable. Mamzeru eved. Yesh tomar, dead kamar kalev shiyetin lo. What's the tet? Shiyetin lo bito haki kamar. This is what he meant to say. Call me shiyachol lazor otan halachot sheshachu bime evlosh el Moshe etin lo aksa biti, which means this was not, this Kiryat Sefer that we're talking was not a place on the map. Kiryat Sefer was the city of the book. At the time Moshe Rabbeinu died, many halakhot were forgotten during the mourning period. So Kaleb ben Yefuneh said, whoever can remember all these halakhot, I'll give him my daughter. So automatically he assumed that a mamzer or an eved is not going to have that Torah scholarship to know all these halakhot. So therefore he's leaving himself vulnerable. He's asking, you know, whoever can remember the 1,000 or 1,700 halakhot that were forgotten, so somebody that's going to be able to do that, obviously going to be a tzaddik. So therefore there was no vulnerability. Some say that that's why Caliph's daughter was called Aksa. Why? Shekol aroe ota koes al ishto. Anybody that sees Aksa gets angry at his wife. Why? Zeva dai mishum siniut yetera dekahazuba. Which means because she was a very tsanua lady. She was a very a proper lady. And a person would go home to his wife and say, what are you? Look at this girl, Aksa, it's unbelievable. She would make all the other ladies look bad. So that's what they call Aksa, Mashon Kaas. So therefore, V'ayas somich l'zchuta v'zchut dideh mistaya delo mizdavgin na ela kefi ma'aseha. Which means, Kalev felt that we have a principle that we don't have a Masechet Sotah. A person gets what he deserves. A person in Zivug gets according to his deeds. And therefore, since he felt that his daughter, Aksa, is a big tzaddiket, he said, God's not going to bring to her some type of person. You have to say that according to the Tosafot, Shaul's daughter was not on this madriga as Kalev. And therefore, for Shaul, the Gemara says, maybe Mamzer, maybe an Eved. But when it came to Kalev, the Gemara didn't ask him because he relied on the fact that her Zechut will not bring her to somebody that is not Hagun. Next Tosafot. Yachol afilu higeret osome. Right, that was by Shaul. Sorry, that was by Eliezer. That maybe God's going to provide Eliezer with a lady that's lame or some. Tema. Amayin lalakata kegebe Eliezer Eved Avraham kevod amal gebe Shaul besamuch. Yachol afilu mamzeret o shifha. Right. Why'd I have to give a different scenario? Give the same case. Maybe God's going to bring a Mamzeret or Eved. Same, or Shifha. Same point. He had jumped to Hingeret or Someh. The Amar Hashim Yishim Tegabeli Ha'ezer Lo Tshech Adayin Mamzeret. Ba'alon Etta Torah. Very simple. There was no Torah yet when Eliezer's time. There's no such thing as Mamzeret. Mamzeret is only in Yan after the Torah is given. So therefore, that's why you cannot give that as a option. Ina Meh Tegabe Isha Lo Deik Alma Ela Liyofi. Which means, even though Mamzeret would be a problem, the Gemara could have said it, but by when it comes to the lady, the main thing that people look for is what? The beauty. And therefore, it's a bigger pagam, let's say, in the lady if she has blindness or a physical impairment. Therefore, when it comes to the man, the pagam is in the mishpaha. When it comes to the lady, the more pagam, the Gemara could have picked either one according to the second answer to Tosfot. It just, when you talk to a lady, the bigger pagam for people usually is the yofi. How can you say he asked Shiloh Kehogan? Very simple. Eliezer has to
initiate.
Very good. Eliezer has to tell the girl that I go to, it's Atina Kadech. So Eliezer will see if the lady's limping, he's not going to go to that girl, it's Atina Kadech. So she answered that already. She said, he's not going to know. Her impairment is going to be concealed. And therefore, he's going to go, Atina Kadech, now he's stuck. Let's see what Tosfot says. Same thing. She's going to have a wooden leg. He's not going to notice it. Or someh kon chishta einaim yafin. Someh doesn't mean she doesn't have eyes. She has beautiful eyes, but what? They're not functioning. So therefore, same answer that she says. That what? It's not going to be noticeable to the ezer. So my mistake, you might say tina kadech. And then everybody is going to find out that she has these physical impairments. Okay, now we continue the Gemara. Comes the Gemara and says, okay. And shu'alin et hageshamim. Let's go back to the statement in the Mishnah. Let's learn it good. We said in the Mishnah, and shu'alin et hageshamim, ela samuch hageshamim. The Gemara now is going to analyze that statement. What does it mean? And shu'alin et hageshamim. You don't ask for rain, only close to the rain. So the Gemara says, sevaruha, the hachamim in the yeshiva, they were analyzing, they were thinking, she'ela v'askara hada miltahi. They wanted to say that when the Mishnah uses the word she'ela, it's synonymous with the word haskara. What does haskara mean? Mentioning. Meaning, this is discussing the subject of Mashiach Rahman the Geshem as well. When it says, en shu'alin et geshem, et suruk et geshemim, it really means to say, we do not start saying Mashiach Rahman the Geshem only close to the season. So the Gemara then says, man tana, who would be the author of that statement? Amar abar b'yoshuahi. Damar mishat anahato. Because when did the Yeshua say, you start saying Mashiach Rahman the Geshem? On Shemini Aseret. Isn't that the beginning really of the rainy season after Sukkot? So therefore, the statement in the Mishnah said, En Shu'alin et Geshemim, En Asamuk Geshemim, is going like the Yeshua that says on the 8th. And incidentally, here Rashi tells us, on the bottom line of the Yeshua, De Amar Mishat Anachat Lavu Maski Dainu Yom Shemini. Until now, Rashi always told Mishat Anachato is the 7th. That's what the Ranchburg on the other daf referred us to this Rashi over here, where he says it's the 8th. V'zeh Savuch L'Geshamim. Te Menachag V'ilach Uzman Geshamim. So therefore, that's what the Mishnah, when you go back to our Mishnah, according to Rava, when it says, En Chualit Geshamim, En Asrut Geshamim, that means, you don't ask for Mashiach Ruach with the Geshem only close to the rainy season. Who's that going like? Rabbi Yeshua. Comes the Gemara and says, no, I'm on the Abba Yeh. Hafidu Temer, Rabbi Eliezer. I can even tell you that that statement, in Shu'alin, at the Geshem, and the Surah Geshem, is going like Rabbi Eliezer. She'ela lichud, v'azkara lichud. Different item. She'ela is barich alenu. Is when it comes to hazkara, you start on Aleph, the Sukkot. When it comes to She'ela, that's you start later on. Two different subjects. Who told you She'ela and Haskara are synonymous? Maybe it's different. They could even be going like to be the Ayazir. V'ika de Amre. We have a Ika de Amre. This Ika de Amre is the same as the first. The only thing is it's not a machloket Abayin Rabah. So this Ika de Amre, Lemar bi Yoshua hi. Damar mishat anachato. Amar Abba, afidu temar bi di ha'ezer, she'ela lichud, v'azkara lichud. So that's basically, so somebody asks you, what does it mean in the Mishnah? En shu'alin et hageshamim, who's it going like? It can be either way. It can be like Rabbi Yoshua. If it goes like Rabbi Yoshua, then she'ela means azkara. If it's going like Rabbi di ha'ezer, she'ela is barich alenu, two separate things. Comes the Gemara and continues. Now, this piece over here, you need to hold concentration, as we go to this next step till we get to the Mishnah. Because it's all connected, each question and answer connected to each other, so you need to have concentration. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Oved Lefnei HaTeva. Let's review Shitat Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah was what? The changeover was always on Musaf. The changeover to Mashiv Rav Degeshim is when? Musaf, Shemini Atzeret. When's the change back? Musaf, first day of Pesach. And what are we discussing? We're discussing Mashiv HaRuach Umir Degeshim. Comes the Gemara and says, Urminu, we have a contradiction. Ad matai shu'alin et hageshamim. Which means, until when do we ask for the rains? Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, Ad shi'avor Pesach. He says, you ask for the rains until the end of Pesach. Rabbi Meir Omer, Ad shi'avor Nisan. Rabbi Meir says, all the way until the end of Nisan. Now, seemingly we have a question. I thought you just told me in the Mishnah Rabbi Yehuda that on the first day of Pesach, you stop asking for rains. Right. Now you tell me that you go all the way until the end of Pesach. Right. That's where the contradiction is. Amar of Hazda la kasha. No question. Kan lishol, kan lehazkir. Two different items. In the Mishnah, he's talking about lehazkir. When do you stop Mashiv Rahman the Geshem? First day of Pesach. In this Braita, he's talking about Barich Aleinu. When do you stop Barich Aleinu? End of Pesach. That means it comes out. You're saying Barich Aleinu after already you stopped saying Mashiv Haruah Omer Dageshim. So the Gemara is what you're talking about. Mishal Sha'il Ve'azil, which means you continue asking until the end of Pesach. Lazkir, but when it comes to mentioning Biyom Tov Arishon Pasik, the first day you stop. That doesn't make any sense.
No.
Amar Ula Had Rav Chasda Kashya Kechomets Leshinayim Uchashan Ne'ainayim. This what Rav Chasda said is difficult, like vinegar is to the teeth, and like smoke is to the eyes, which means it doesn't make any sense. It there's no logic. Why? Uma bimkom she'eno shoel maskir. In a place where you don't start saying Barich Aleinu yet, for example, on the last day of Shemini Atzeret, you start saying Mashiv Haruach without Barich Aleinu. There's no Barich Aleinu on Shemini Atzeret. So uma bimkom she'eno shoel maskir, when you start to be maskir without being shoel. In a place where you're still being shoel, or the most it should be maskir. It doesn't make sense to stop Mashiva, especially the Sevara that we learned. Mashiva was like a build up to Barich Aleinu. Right? So if you're saying Barich Aleinu, you ask, you certainly you should praise. So you stop praising, you're still asking? It doesn't make sense to continue saying Barich Aleinu after already you stopped saying Mashiva Ruach or Murid Geshem. That doesn't get answered. So then we have to go back to the question again. What is the reconciliation of the two stems of Rabbi Yehuda? Ela Mar'ula, Tre Tanae Alibad Rabbi Yehuda. Answer, there is two Tanaim according to Rabbi Yehuda, which means one opinion says you say Barich Aleinu till the end of Pesach. And what it means you say Barich Aleinu means also Mashiv Haruach, Umuri, the Geshem. And the other Shitava Mishnah says no. You stop Mashiv Haruach, the Geshem on the first day of Pesach. And that means you stop Barich Aleinu on the first time that you're able to stop it as well. Which means in the other, in the subsequent Tefillot. So it comes Machloket. When are you going to stop Mashiv Haruach Umuri da Geshem? According to our Mishnah, you stop it on the first day of Pesach. Okay, once you stop Mashiv Haruach Umuri da Geshem, of course you're going to stop as well Barich Aleinu. Everything works together. Right there it said Pesach? Yeah, that's another Shittah of Rabbi Yehuda. Two Tanaim interpreting Rabbi Yehuda. That will say what? You go say Barich Aleinu all the way to the end of Pesach. And after Pesach, you stop everything. Both Barich Aleinu and Mashiv Haruach Umuri da Geshem. Tre Tanae. Tuta Naim Aliba the Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yosef Amar. Rabbi Yosef has a different interpretation. Again, everyone's trying to answer this question. My Achi Avodah Pesach. When that bright said Achi Avodah Pesach, what does it mean? You think it means until the end of Pesach? No. Achi Avor Shadiyah Sibur Rishon Hayored Biyom Tov Rishon Shil Pesach. Which is another way of saying Musaf on the first day. Ad she'avor haPesach. Read into it. Ad she'avor haHazan haRishon shel Yom Tov Rishon shel Pesach. Which is another way of saying Musaf. That's when you start. So therefore, the Braita and the Mishnah are exactly saying the same thing. Now, the only problem with that is that Braita was talking about Barich Aleinu. Because Ad Matay Shoalim. When do you say Barich Aleinu until? You stop it in the ready first day of Yom Tov in Musaf. What do you mean? Is there any Barich Aleinu in Yom Tov? Do you tell me you stop it on Yom Tov? There's no Barich. That doesn't make sense according to what you're saying. So the Gemara says, Amale Abaye She'ela bi Yom Tov Mi'ika? What do you mean? Is there any who's asking for rain? Which means you're not praying to fill that hole.
Right, there's no asking.
Did you tell me, Ad Matay Shualim, you say Barich Aleinu until the first Chazan? What first Chazan? When Sha'arit was Barich Aleinu? So what are you talking about? So Gemara says, Amalein. Yes, there is Barich Aleinu. There is a request for rain, I should say, on Yom Tov. When? Shu'el Meturgeman. The Meturgeman, the interpreter, they used to make like we have to like a Misha Berach. Then we get up and give a Misha Berach to the Kahal and stuff like that. So in the blessing of the Meturgeman, he was the interpreter, so he would get up and say special berakot. One of the things he would say was, berakah, for the rain. Even though it wasn't officially in the Amidah. So therefore, what we're saying is, already by Musaf time, that interpreted he shouldn't say the blessing for the rain. What are you talking about? The Sibur is going to ask something that the Sibur does not need, which means, why would the, already if it's not the time anymore for this rain anymore, it's Pesach already, you tell me you have to stop. After the, so you tell me, in the morning, what? He's going to ask for something that already the Sibur doesn't need anymore. It seems that Miturgeman only discusses things that are needed in the present. So therefore, the Miturgeman would not mention anything about rains on Pesach. So then we're back to the question. What are you talking about, Abi Yehuda, when you said that you say Barech Aleinu until the end of Pesach? Yabara says, Eilam Havartak Yehuda. We go back, and we revert back to Ravaz, I'm sorry, to Ula's answer. What was Ula's answer? Tere Tanae Alibad Rabbi Yehuda. That's, by the way, get that answer, because that's going to be the final answer. Which means what? Basically, there's two Tanaim in the Shitav Rabbi Yehuda. Let's review these two Shitot. The Braita says what? And Chalit Geshemim, sorry, Ad Shevur HaPesach. What does that mean? You say Barech Aleinu and Mashiv HaRuach until the end of Pesach. What's in the Pesach says? You stop both. So it's a theme. What does the Mishnah say? No, you stop everything on the first day of Pesach. You want to stop Mashiv HaRuach Geshem, then already you stop Barech Aleinu as well. And the next time you say Barech Aleinu also is stopped. Good? How can the Rabbi Yehuda contradict himself? There's two Tanaim. One Tana heard Rabbi Yehuda say this, or understood him like that, and one Tana understood him differently. That's Ula's answer. Rabba Amar. Rabba wants to give a different answer. So far we had Rabbi Hizda's answer, rejected. We had Rabbi Yosef's answer, rejected. Now we have Rabba's answer. Rabba Amar, my Achi Avor HaPesach. What does it mean, Achi Avor HaPesach? Achi Avor Zman Shechitat HaPesach. Oh. Until the time of the Shechita of the Pesach passes. When is that time? Hatzot. Hatzot on Erev Pesach. Which means he's telling you that when do you stop Barech Aleinu, you're going to stop Barech Aleinu in Mincha on Erev Pesach. But you're going to still mention Mashiv HaRuach until the first day Musaf. So you're stopping Barech Aleinu first, and then you continue saying Mashiv HaRuach Umurid HaGeshem. So no contradiction. Yeah, let's review that. In the Mishnah, it says what? Mishnah told me Mashiv HaRuach HaGeshem. When do you stop Mashiv HaRuach HaGeshem? Musaf, day one. But it says, Echolim Ad She'avor HaPesach. Yeah, it means you stop saying Barech Aleinu Ad She'avor Zman Shechitat HaPesach. Shechitat HaPesach is Chatzot. So when you stop bringing the Korban, right? And Erev Pesach. Beautiful. It means it's in Mincha. You stop saying Barech Aleinu. Now that's not so illogical, because it's possible to say Mashiv HaRuach without a Barech Aleinu. After all, that's how we started. So the Gemara says, Uchtahilato ken sofo, which means just like the way you started, that's the way you end. Matahilato maskir afa pishenu shoel. Just like you started being maskir without asking, af sofo maskir afa pishenu shoel. Gemara says, Amal Abaye. Abaye's winter. Go with the logic. Bishla matahilato maskir. What's the logic why you maskir? Because it's a setup. First you maskir, like we said, you appease the king, and then you ask. However, but already you stopped asking, what are you still praising for? What are you appeasing for? Which means, what you stopped by Barech Aleinu, it doesn't make sense to say Mashiv HaRuach HaGeshem. What is it leading to? Already you stopped asking. So this answer doesn't make sense either. Doesn't make sense to, if you're going with the logic that Mashiv HaRuach was a build-up, yeah, to the Barech Aleinu. Yeah. Right, but first you have to praise God, the Mashiv HaRuach, we understand that you're the one that brings the rain. Oh, then please, we need the rain. But already what you're not asking for the rain anymore, so what are you building up for? So therefore, this answer of Rabbah is also rejected. Ela, mahavartaki de'ula. And back to Ula's answer of what? Tre tanae aliba biyuda. Now technically that's the end of the reconciliation of the biyuda. Now we got to get to the halakha. Amar of Aseh, Amar Rabbi Yohanan, Halakha Rabbi Yehuda. Halakha is going to follow Rabbi Yehuda that says in the Mishnah that Mashiv HaRuach you stop on Musaf on Pesach, Yom Tov Rishon Shel Pesach, and you start saying Mashiv HaRuach on the first day, on the last day of Sukkot. Meaning Shmini Atzeret. In Musaf, you make the changeover. Alakik Rabbi Yehuda, Avraham Mishnah.
We put down the lulav, right?
Right. Good? Okay. So they're not putting down the lulav.
It's the day after.
No, it's putting down the lulav plus waiting to Musaf. Not Shachrit or Arbit. It's Musaf. Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehoshua had said Mishata Nachato. Okay. Comes the Gemara and says, Amar le, so Rabbi Yehanat Zana Chek Rabbi Yehuda. Hold the thought process here, gentlemen. Amar de Rabbi Zera de Rabbi Aser. Rabbi Zera Taz Rabbi Aser. Umi Amar Rabbi Yohanan Akhe.
Did
Rabbi Yohanan say this halakha? That inan, we learned in the Mishnah. Bishlosha b'mar Heshvan shu'alim et ha-geshamim. It says, on the third day of Heshvan, that's when you start to say, Barich Aleinu. Rabban Gamliel Omer b'shiv'abo. He says, no, you know when you start Barich Aleinu? On the seventh of Heshvan, ve'amar ve'lazar halacha kerabban Gamliel, and the Bilazar said the halacha of Rabban Gamliel that what that you start saying Baruch Aleinu on the seventh of Heshvan. That as she says ve'kasakadatach. At this point, we're thinking that the time of Baruch Aleinu is going to be similar to the time that you start Mashiv Rami Degeshem. So means the Bilazar says that halacha like Rabban Gamliel that you stop Baruch Aleinu on the seventh of Heshvan. That means Mashiv Baruch also starts on the seventh of Heshvan. So how could Rabbi Yohanan say that the halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda? We have a statement that the Bilazar says that halacha is like Rabban Gamliel. So the Gemara says, we're talking about the Gavra, Gavra Karamit.
Yeah.
What do you mean? You're asking from one rabbi to another rabbi? Rabbi Yohanan says that halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Lazar says that halacha is like Rabban Gamliel. So he didn't bring a contradiction to Rabbi Yehuda. Yeah. In Rabbi Yohanan, I mean, and if you would have brought me another statement, Rabbi Yohanan contradicts himself. You have a question. So you have one rabbi that says halacha can be Yehuda. Well, how do you say that? We have another rabbi that says halacha can be Gamliel. So do you want? Good luck. I hold what I hold. You hold what he holds. What Gavra, Gavra can I meet? I mean, you're asking a question from one rabbi to another rabbi. That's not a stira. Right? Comes the Gemara and says another answer. Ibaitema la kashya. Can this all? Can the Haskir? Simple answer. Two different subjects. Rabbi Yehuda was talking about Haskara in the Mishnah. What does Haskara mean? Mashiv Rami Degeshem. When do you start Mashiv Rami Degeshem? Shmini Atzeret. Rabbi Gamliel was talking about Baruch Aleinu. When do you start Baruch Aleinu? Zayin Heshvan. Ve'amar Rabbi Yohanan b'mkom she'shu'el Maskir. Oh, what are you telling? You can't say that. Because we know Rabbi Yohanan made another statement. That She'ela and Haskara happened together. Gemara answer. Ha'u la'afsaka etmar. Yeah, that was talking about it stops together.
Right, because then
they don't start together, but they stop together, which means once you stop on Pesach, then there's no more Baruch Aleinu as well. So therefore, so far we're reconciling Rabbi Yohanan and saying he's Mashiv Rami Degeshem, that starts on Shmini Atzeret, Baruch Aleinu starts on Zayin Heshvan. But he said they start together. No, he didn't say they start together. All he said is they're together. Yeah, when you stop them, you stop them together. That's what we're talking about. V'amar Rabbi Yohanan, התחיל להזכיר, מתחיל לשאול. פסק מלשאול, פוסק מלהזכיר. Look at Rabbi Yohanan says, no. They start together, and they end together. When you start to mention, you start to ask. When you stop, you stop both. Mm-hmm. So therefore, they work together simultaneously. So how can you tell me that one statement is Mashiv Baruch, one statement is Baruch Aleinu kol Rabbi Yohanan? Right? Comes the Gemara. Ela lakasha. Gemara's answer. Halan, halehu. Halan, one's for the people of Bavel. Halan, for us. Talmud Babli. Halehu, those are the people in Eretz Yisrael. What does it mean? Rashi. Look at Rashi. Halan ve halehu. Halan ve halehu. Libde Bavel. In Bavel, it seems they still had crop in the field in Tishri. We're going to delay Baruch Aleinu until the 7th of Heshvan. Yeah. When did Rabbi Yohanan say that it starts simultaneously? For the people of Bavel. Why? Because we don't want the wheat to get destroyed. So we delay Baruch Aleinu and Mashiv Ruach until the 7th of Heshvan. Halehu. The Bnei Eretz Yisrael, the Kotzlim b'Nisan ve'Osvim b'Tishri. Already in Tishri, they're not left in the fields. They did the harvest already. Maskirim biyom tov acharon ker biyudah davar v'aser rakha kemoto. And Eretz Yisrael does not everything on the last day. Does not receive over the Geshem as well as Barich Alenu in Arbit, let's say, that night. So therefore, it's two different scenarios. Yeah, Bnei Eretz Yisrael and Bnei Bavel. Let's review the answer. Halan Alehu. The Gemara's question was against the Biyudah, against the Biyuhanan. The Biyuhanan used the Chazak of the Biyudah. That says what? It starts on the last day of Sukkot. We have another statement that says Halakha Kerban Gamliel, that it starts on Zayin Hashvan. And we're assuming that we're talking about everything starts together. So the Gemara says Halan Alehu. The Bnei Eretz Yisrael, they're going to start when? They're going to start immediately right after Sukkot. Why?
They don't have any, there's nothing to ruin.
Right, there's no crops that they're worried about, they're going to get ruined in the field. So therefore, right after Sukkot, Shemini Atzeret, like the Mishnah, stop Hashem Rav the Geshem, and stop Arich Alenu immediately. But what do you mean? He said you do it on the 7th. The 7th is Bnei Bavel. You want to delay it, and therefore you start everything on the 7th, meaning both Arich Alenu and Hashem Rav the Geshem. So the Gemara says, wait. Gemara says, the reason why you're delaying it for us, because we still have fruit in the fields. Even for Bnei Eretz Yisrael, don't you have the pilgrims that went up to Yerushalayim on the holiday? And therefore, if it's going to start raining right after Sukkot, they're not going to be able to get home. You don't want it to rain right after Sukkot. The roads are going to become all muddy. So therefore, just like you have a reason to delay it for Bnei Bavel, you have a reason all to delay it for Bnei Eretz Yisrael. So we're back to the question. Make up your mind. Is it last day of Sukkot? Is it 7? Heshvan. But if Yohanan was talking about there's no Bet HaMikdash, all this argument is without the Bet HaMikdash. So without a Bet HaMikdash, there's no pilgrims going up. And therefore, when are you going to start Barich Alenu Eretz Yisrael? Immediately after Sukkot. And in Bavel, when are you going to start it? On the 7th of Heshvan. So he goes, wait, hashtag dati dache. Now that you got to this, we're already introducing that we're talking about not in the times of the Bet HaMikdash. I could say that both statements of Rabbi Yohanan were talking about Eretz Yisrael. Which means we always like to make the machloket more constricted. Instead of saying that we're not one case talking about Israel, one thing talking about Bavel, if we could say his whole discussion was Eretz Yisrael, especially the Yohanan was the rabbi of Eretz Yisrael, we'd rather say it's Eretz Yisrael. So I could say he was talking about two periods of time. Which means when the Beit HaMikdash was Kayam,
we push it back.
That's when we say what? Bet HaMikdash Kayam. You push it forward.
Forward, I mean.
Because you have the pilgrims that need to get home. So then everything starts on Zayin Hashvan. Oh, Bizmat Shem, Bet HaMikdash Kayam. Do it right after Pesach. Which right after Sukkot. I mean, I said it. So it means when the Biyudah said, Amar Rabbi Yohanan, Halakha Ke Biyudah of the Mishnah, that's talking about Bizman She'en Bet HaMikdash Kayam. Where you can do the rains right away after Shemini Atzeret. Because I'm not worried about the Oleh Regalim. Oh, that which Rabbi El-Azad said, Halakha Ke Gamliel, they start on the 7th? That's talking about Bizman She'en Bet HaMikdash Kayam. And therefore, you have to delay the situation. So that's the way we're finally reconciling the two statements of Rabbi Yohanan and Rabbi El-Azad. Okay, good. Comes the Gemara and says, okay, the Anan, the Itlan Tre Yome. New question. We are in the Galut, Anan. We have 2 days for Shemini Atzeret. Right? We have the 8th day and the 9th day. We have Sifeka, the Yoma. Hechi Avdinan. What do? When do we start saying Mashiach Rav the Geshem? So we're always discussing now Eretz Yisrael, the last day. Last day is 1 day. Shemini Atzeret.
Only 1 day, no problem.
When is our last day? Is it the 8th or is it the 9th? When do you start saying Mashiach Baruch Amid Legesh? That's the question. That she says, Anan de Itlan Tre Yome, Shene Yamim Tovim Acharonim, Shemini Safek Shevi'i, V'Tishi'i Safek Shemini. Right? The 8th day is Safek 7, and the 9th day is Safek 8. The Rabbi Yudad Amar Miyom Tov Acharon, Be'ezim Mehim Maskir. Gemara says, Amar Rav, Matchil b'Musafin. You start in Musaf on day 8. Uposek b'Mincha Arbit v'Shacharit. Then you stop in Mincha Arbit and Shacharit v'Chozer b'Musafin. Then you start again the next day, Musaf. Now, what's the reason why you stop in Mincha? Because maybe today's the seventh. So therefore, it's very strange. You're playing the eighth day, two sides. In the morning, you're treating it as day eight. And in the afternoon, you're treating it as what? Day as day seven. Because in the same day, you're starting it. So comes the Gemara and says, Amar Lehu Shemuel. When Shemuel heard this, who made the statement? The statement was made by Rav. Shemuel used to refer to Rav as Abba. Some say out of respect, because it was like his father, Abba. And some say Rav's real name was Abba. And Shmuel was a colleague of Rab, so he referred to him as his regular name, Abba. So he says, Amalu Shmuel, Puku ve'amru le Abba. Shmuel says, go tell Abba, Ahar she'asito kodesh, ta'aseh u'chol. That makes sense? Once already in Musaf, you start saying, Meshuv Ramad Geshem. What are you saying, really? It's kodesh. It means you're treating this as the eighth day. Now what? Now Minha, you're going to treat it like the seventh day? By stopping Meshuv Ramad Minha, what are you really saying now? No, maybe it's not the eighth day, maybe it's the seventh day. You can't do Tarte de Satre. You can't do contradictory items on the same day. After you made it Kodesh, you're going to go back to make it Chol? You hear the question?
Yeah.
The Gemara says, Ela, what do you do? Amar Shmuel, Mathil be Musafin ube Mincha. You do the eighth day, the whole day. Musaf, Amincha. So then you're consistent, because maybe it's Safek Shemini. Uposek Arbit v'Shahrit. And then the next day, which is the ninth, which is also a Safik, that is the eighth, you stop in Arbit v'Shachrit, v'Hozeru Mathil v'Musafim. See Shmuel's logic? Do each day individually. The eighth day of Sukkot, it's Safik 7, but it's Safik 8. So you know what? Treat it like it's the eighth. How do you treat it like it's the eighth? Musaf, Mincha, beautiful. Now, have the ninth. This is Safik again. Maybe it's the ninth. Maybe it's the eighth. So start the process again. Rava Amar. Rava is a different shita. Kevan shitchil shuvino posek. Once you start in Musaf on the first, on the eighth day, you stick with it. You don't go back. V'chein Amar Rav Sheshat. Kevan shitchil shuvino posek. Ve'af Rav hadarbe. And even Rav retracted. Jesus, Rav originally said, this whole business, you start on the same day, and then you stop. Rav agrees now, the consensus of opinions is what? Once you start, you go. Now, where do we see Rav retracted? The Amar Rav Hananel, Amar Rav, Mone Esrim Ve'ehad Yom. You count 21 days in Tishri, Kederich Shemone Asara Yamim Merosh Hashanah Yom Kippurim. Like you count the days from Rosh Hashanah to Kippur. I'll explain to you what that means. Umatchil. And you start saying Mashiv Ramad Geshem. Vechivat Shetchil, Shuvino Posek. I'll explain to you what it means like this. We know that Rosh Hashanah we treat as 2 days. Okay? What's the reason why we treat Rosh Hashanah 2 days? Even though the majority of years, Elul was Hasir. Elul was 29 days. Okay? That means the 30th day really is Rosh Chodesh. Right? And therefore it should be Rosh Hashanah. But Safek, the witnesses, the delay in that whole business, so we make Rosh Hashanah 2 days. Just in case, let's say, the 30th day is not sanctified. They're going to sanctify the 31st day as Rosh Chodesh. So therefore it's Rosh Hashanah. It's going to go 2 days with Safek. Okay? Very good. Now, that's only regarding Rosh Hashanah with your 2 days. But Le'inyan Kippur, we only do 1 day. Kippur, we don't say, well, maybe it's, maybe Elul was a 29, so the Kippur is a day early. Maybe it's the 30, so Kippur is a day later. No, we don't do Sifekad Yomah on Kippur. When do you count your 10 days for Kippur? You count it from the first day of Tishri, meaning from day 30. Understand? Whereas Rosh Hashanah, we put Safek. Maybe it's 30, maybe it's 31. But when you're counting, Kippur is the 10th day from Rosh Hashanah. So what do you do? Which day do you count from? From the first day of Rosh Hashanah, the second day of Rosh Hashanah? You count from the first day of Rosh Hashanah. Why? Because the majority of years, Elul has 29 days. And then for the 30th day is
day one.
And that's how you count. So the Gemara says like this. Rav made a statement. Count 21 days from Rosh Hashanah. If you count 21 days, on the 22nd day, that's when you will begin Mashiva Ruach Amrit Geshem. Now, if you count 21 days from Aleph Tishri, now why am I counting from Aleph Tishri, meaning from the first day of Rosh Hashanah? Because he says, Kederich Shemonim Asara Yamim Le Yom Kippurim. And when I'm counting to Yom Kippur, I start from day one. So count 21 days from Aleph Tishri. That'll take you to 21. After 21 days, the 22nd day is called Shemini Atzeret. That's when you're going to start saying Mashiva Ruah. Oh, and once you start, don't stop. Now, why am I telling you this? Because you have to count it from the first day. Because if you're going to not count it from the first day, so then you're going to be off on your counting. Which means all this hashbon doesn't work out. Which means, because really, if let's say, normally, I'll give you a scenario. Let's say really the witnesses came on day 30.
Yeah.
Right? Let's say they came a day later. Okay. Right? So now if you're counting on the first day of Rosh Hashanah,
yeah,
you're a day short. When you're counting 21 days, you're still early. It's not Shemini Atzeret yet. Because really the Rosh Hashanah is on the second day. So maybe you should count on the second day. No. When you're dealing with Gabi Kippur, we always count Rosh Hashanah on the first day, from day 30 of Elul. We don't put Safik. So that's why he said, I want you to count 21 days from the day that we count Kederek Shemonim Rosh Hashanah Ad Yom Kippurim. Because you must start on day 30 to count. Make that as if that's the Vaday. Because for Rosh Kippur, we consider it that the Vaday. And therefore, once you get 21 days, where's it going to take you to? To the last day of Sukkot, that would be Rosh Hashanah, we would call that. Yom Aravah, as she calls that. And then, on the next day, would be Shemini Atzeret. And then it says you start. Who made this statement? Rav. So you see, Rav must have retracted. Comes to Gemara and concludes and says, Bivcheta, Kevan Shitchil, Shuvin Oposek. Which means, look at the Taptos fort. Kedomar, Kevan Shitchil, Biyom Rishon, Shel. What's that here? Biyom Rishon, Shel, Shnei Yemim Aharonim. Once you started on the first day of the last 2 days of the holiday, meaning once you started on the eighth day, Shemini Atzeret, Shuv Eino Posek, Vechen Hapsak, and that's really our halakha l'maaseh. That's what we do. We started Shemini Atzeret, and we continue, and we are not posek. Baruch Adonai Olam. Amen. Amen.